We head deep into the 7th century next, where Nicola Griffith has set her new novel called Hild. Griffith has legions of fans. She's won multiple awards for her fantasy novels, and Hild is her first piece of historical fiction. It's the story of the girl who grew up to become St. Hilda of Whitby.
The child's world changed late one afternoon, though she didn't know it. She lay at the edge of the hazel coppice, one cheek pressed to the moss that smelt of wormcast and the last of the sun, listening to the wind in the elms rushing away from the day, to the jackdaws changing their calls from outward, outward, to home now, home, to the rustle of the last frightened shrews scuttling under the layers of leaf fall before the owls began their hunt. From far away came the indignant honking of geese as the goose girl herded them back inside the wattle fence, and the child knew, in the wordless way that three-year-olds reckon time, that soon Onan would come and find her and Cian and hurry them back. Onan, some leftwise cousin of Ceredig King, always hurried, but the child, Hild, did not. She liked the rhythm of her days, time alone. Cian didn't count, and time by the fire listening to the murmur of British and English and even Irish. She liked time at the edges of things, the edge of the crowd, the edge of the pool, the edge of the wood, where all must pass, but none quite belonged.
Nicola, from those very first words, this world comes so incredibly vividly alive. How did you end up writing about 7th century Britain, let alone writing about it as though you'd actually lived there?
Well, I did live there in my head, in my heart, in my mind. And it all began one day in my very early 20s. I needed to get away for a few days, so I went up the coast to a town called Whitby. And I discovered this monastery, this abbey, founded by a woman, and her name was Hild. It turned me inside out like a sock. History just fisted up through the turf and through me, and it took the top of my head off. So I tried to find out more about Hild, and it comes down to one paragraph in a book by the Venerable Bede. She changed the world, and yet nobody knows about her. So I went off to try find a book about Hild. And there were none. I could find nothing. So I researched for, more than 10 years, I think I researched seriously.
So you became obsessed with 7th century Britain?
I became utterly, utterly involved in 7th century Britain. The tides, I knew the phases of the moon. I researched what birds there were, because there were different birds then. I researched the trees, because there were different trees then. The weather, the flora, the fauna, the jewelry. I came across this piece of research. I found out that by certainly some estimates, women spent 65% of their time on textile production.
Working on making cloth?
Yes.
No wonder women didn't make history.
They were too busy making everything else.
Yeah. One of the challenges of bringing Hild back to life is that she is a seer, a visionary. Explain what that would have meant then.
Okay. The way I have imagined the early Middle Ages, and I'm making this up, okay, as long as we're clear on it. Think of seers, think of prophets as political spinmeisters. Certainly that's how Hild regarded her job. Whenever Edwin the king ran into a problem where he wanted a particular outcome, it was always Hild's job to figure out what it was that he wanted, and to even the things that he hadn't admitted to himself and had certainly never admitted in public that he wanted, and to feed him a prophecy that gave him permission to do what he wanted to do anyway. In Hall, Edwin King sat on his great chair with a bloody sword across his knees. The bandage on his upper arm was bulky and clumsily tied. He could barely keep still. A muscle by his eye and one at the corner of his mouth fluttered and twitched. His gaze flicked this way and that, probing the shadows. Paulinus stood at his left hand, his bony forehead like old wax and his eyes glittering. "The buckle blade was a gift from me," Hild said. "From my hand to Kian's, into his hand to protect your life.
Indeed. Edwin rested his chin on his fist.
And how did you know he would need it?
She touched the crystal hanging at her left hip.
I am your seer.
Quitchum, you say. He scratched his beard, thinking. He tried to kill me, and you claim you stopped him.
Lord, he lifted his hand, yet poor Linus here says it was the Christ's will that I be saved.
She said, perhaps it was the Christ's will that I be born to see your path and guide others to keep you safe.
Poor Linus Crowe stared at her.
Hild stared back.
The Bishop of Christ and the Handmaid of Weird, Edwin said. Which should I believe?
Do you think of Hild as more historical or more fiction? That is, if we have the Game of Thrones and that kind of faux medieval world on one side, mm-hmm. and a nonfiction scholarly history of 7th century England on the other side, where does Hild fall?
Hild, I remember being on the phone with my editor one day, and he said, so how accurate is Hild? I said, well, you could think of Hild as an ethnology of the 7th century. And I could feel him turn pale on the other end of the phone. Don't ever say that in public. I said, okay. Then it's Game of Thrones without dragons. He said, that's much better.
Yeah. Well, I read something you wrote on your blog, which was really interesting, about wanting to imagine the world Hild could have lived in. A world in which she could have shaped her own life in the ways that the actual women of her time probably couldn't.
Adrienne Rich said, we must use what we have to invent what we desire. It's our job to go back and recast the past, to make it a world that makes the present possible. Because if you look at history is just a story. It's a story that people have told through their cultural lens based on the facts as they see them. But there are all these facts. The facts are neutral. You can go back and recast them, retell the story.
Is that why you give Hild a sword? Because there's some powerful battle scenes.
Yeah, but she never uses the sword. She does have a very large knife. It's called a sax, a slaughter sax.
A slaughter sax?
Yeah, it's a very large knife. She always had a weapon, and she practiced with that thing. She was very, very competent.
Flicks and flirts of wind ran over the grassed slope. Hild lay on her belly while dew soaked slowly through her wool. She ignored it. To either side, her men inched forward. Nothing stirred. Light began to leak into the hollow below, tinting the sleeping bandits in tones of ash and charcoal. By the fire, one of the bandits twitched, then unfolded to become a thin woman who tottered two paces before slumping into a squat with her shift around her waist. Hild looked right and left, nodded. Bowman drew, yes, it's tensed. Then she drew her hand across her throat. No mercy. Strings thrummed, spears lofted, she ran. She ran silent as a deer, muscles pumping, heels thudding on the turf, straight for the squatting woman. A spear thumped into the woman's foot and she started to shriek and turn, but Hild was already swinging. Her stave took the woman in the throat. She felt the soft shock all the way to her shoulders. Then she was leaping over the writhing ruin, lips skinned back. Death! She howled, death, and the dark hollow filled with men and spears and screams.
Did it change how you see her after you'd written her first kill, the first time she killed someone?
Oh, I wept for her, really, the first time she killed someone, because the first time she killed someone, it was after a battle, and there were all these enemy combatants lying around, burst open, their guts all over the field. And they were all begging for mercy, and she took it upon herself to mercy kill them. And she wept, and she threw up, but she did it anyway because she had to. And once you've crossed that take a human life line, I think it becomes a little easier each time.
Do you think there's any particular reason that the Middle Ages is suddenly popping up?
I was talking about this just the other day, actually. I really think that there are many similarities between medieval times and the beginnings of feudalism. Feudalism was quite a way after this, but it was certainly apparent in, for example, Game of Thrones. Feudalism and corporate culture like Google and Microsoft, I think these charismatic leaders of these huge, world-changing entities, they're just like kings. So we got Google, for example, in Mountain View, building their own little kingdom. They're trying to get planning permission for bridges and housing developments. And in what essentially is kind of an island, almost like a peninsula, very like an island. Perhaps they won't fortify it, but they may as well have.
Then are we all the serfs?
No comment.
Okay. Thank you so much for talking.
It's my pleasure.
Nicola Griffith's new novel is called Hild.